going in. And then one of the Sangeli turned to face Vaz.
Nishum! He roared.
Vaz didn't need a translation. The hinge heads surged forward and he ducked back. Mal and Naomi got the idea instantly. They started running down the side of the temple building toward the rear, followed by a roaring that sounded like the surge of a tidal wave.
Dev, here we come, Mal said. Plan B, up and out, fast as you can.
The noise of the drives suddenly rose into a high-pitched whine. It was going to be a rough takeoff. Vaz skidded around the end of the wall just behind Naomi, who reached into her belt and flung something back over her head without even looking. Vaz caught a glimpse as it arced over him.
Just smoke, she said. Every second counts.
The smoke grenade went off behind them with a loud bang, and Vaz spotted Tarkkart's velvet-gray nose up ahead. The next thing he saw was half a dozen elites between him and the ship. The dropship side hatch was open. If this wasn't Telcam's guys coming to help them out, it was going to turn ugly pretty fast. Then one of the hinge heads answered the question by aiming his plasma pistol, and a green bolt of energy sizzled off Vaz's shoulder plate, almost bowling him over. Something caught him and shoved him upright in a second, maybe Naomi, maybe Mal, and his body did what it had learned to do without thinking. He returned fire, and kept firing as he ran, crashing into one Sangeli so hard that the impact hurt deep in his sinuses. He didn't realize how high he could jump until he landed in the open hatch and smashed onto the coaming. He rolled clear and grabbed the first arm he could see. Mal hauled him through the hatch and Naomi jumped onto the step, holding onto the hull.
Go, Dev! Mal yelled. Lift! Go! Go! Go!
The dropship shot up vertically like a mortar. Vaz found himself on his back, looking through the open hatch at a fireworks show of green and white streaks zipping past Naomi, framed in silhouette for a second. The hatch shut and sealed with a thump of air.
So, Devereaux said, no Phillips. If he'd been on the outside, I'd have found him.
If he'd been inside, we'd have found him.
Mal leaned over Vaz and checked him out.
So apart from explaining to Osman how we managed to start a riot and kill a few hingeheads on holy ground, I think we ought to start an aerial search.
Vaz's ribs were starting to throb where he'd fallen against the hatch.
He can't have gone that far, no more than 30 clicks, even if he was running.
Naomi looked down at him, and Bibi's voice emerged from her helmet. It didn't look as funny as it had an hour ago.
That, Bibi said, depends on how he left the temple.
Sangelius. Exact location unknown.
That didn't happen, Philip said.
Did it?
For a moment he thought he'd stepped into the temple grounds, but his stomach was still cartwheeling, as if he'd done a somersault. A breeze played on his face. Antom was gone. He had no idea where he was. He stood in a ruined building, no roof, no windows, just 3 crumbling stone block walls, in the middle of nowhere. Hip-high, dark green grass rolled and swayed like an ocean for a couple of kilometers ahead of him. He turned around slowly, taking in a small town in the distance, and decided that his only chance of getting out was to walk to the nearest keep and beg for help. Maybe a little sleight of hand with an Arum would be his passport.
If only Bibi would suddenly snap back to normal.
That was a portal, Bibi said.
I sort of worked that out.
Portals were routed all over the place, usually not on the same planet. The sky looked the same. The air smelled familiar.
But we're still on Sangelios, aren't we?
I believe so. I still have my positioning system.
How far from Antom?
I estimate 80 kilometers.
It seemed a pointlessly short journey for a portal given the energy needed to power it. But perhaps it made sense when the Forerunners were last here,
and at least the thing still worked, even though the exit end was in ruins. Phillips took a look around the structure and wondered whether it was worth risking an unencrypted broadcast. He didn't have any protection from the rebels now. No top cover, as Mal called it, and announcing that he was a good pal of the Arbiter might get him killed with equal speed. The ODSTs would definitely come looking for him sooner or later. He had to make it easier for them to find him. "I can't hide, BB." There was a panel of carved symbols on a slab of masonry, but half of it had crumbled away. Phillips recorded a few images, anyway. "So I might as well make myself conspicuous. Nice, brisk walk into town." "I think that's a collective of keeps called Acroly, but I can't tell what its loyalties are." "I have a feeling it's not going to make much difference. I'm a worm. An arum-solving worm." "Professor, I find I'm having to revise my translation." Phillips was sure he could see smoke in the far distance. He checked his datapad map, which wasn't exactly reliable. He should have asked the Arbiter for an accurate chart. "Is that a problem, BB? Because I think you got the word for portal right." "Coordinates," BB said. "I must have interpreted the numbers wrongly. Or Halsey did. This location doesn't correspond to the position I would have expected. Back to the drawing board. It's important. I need to work out how the Forerunners navigated, or else you won't know the locations of the halos. How come your security thingy hasn't wiped your awareness of halos?" "I don't know. It's very distressing." Phillips didn't know what to say to comfort him. He wasn't even sure if changing the subject worked. "We'll sort out later," he said. "Let's get home first." Somehow he'd always expected the Sangheili to have sophisticated security that could pick up an alien incursion anywhere on the planet. But here he was, ambling through a meadow within sight of a town, and nothing had swooped on him, shot at him, or detected him yet. He was used to a world where security cameras picked him up 200 times a day just wandering around Sydney, and where his bank and comms provider knew his every desire, habit, and movement. Let alone all the government snoopers who'd probably been keeping tabs on him without his knowledge. "Yes, but I'm a snooper now." Oni was right about the technological infrastructure going down the pan with the San Chium. They'd only been gone a few months, but they'd left a massive hole. The town was getting closer. So were the palls of smoke behind it. Phillips started to rethink his perspective, wondering if the smoke